Please be seated. Just a slight change to the order of service. After we go through the solemnization of the marriage vows, you can sit down. We've got a little 10-minute talk, and that will give Christine, the registrar, time to fill out some more paperwork, and then we'll sign the registrar. Okay? So, Natasha's panicking because she doesn't have her mobile phone. You know, the first time since mobile phones were invented that she hasn't got one glued to her. But welcome. And dearly beloved, we are gathered here in the presence of Almighty God and before this congregation to join together this man and this woman in Christian marriage. Christian marriage is a holy estate instituted by Almighty God and commended in Scripture as honorable to all who enter it lawfully and in true affection. It was confirmed by Christ's solemn words and hallowed by his gracious presence at the marriage feast in Cana of Galilee, John chapter 2. And it is set forth by the apostle as signifying the mystical union between Christ and his church, Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, it ought not to be entered upon lightly or unadvisedly, but thoughtfully and reverently, duly considering the causes for which it was ordained. It was ordained for the hallowing of the union between one man and one woman, so that the natural instincts and affections being directed aright, they should live in purity and honor. It was ordained for the increase of mankind, and that children might be brought up in the fear and nurture of the Lord. It was ordained for the companionship, health, and comfort which husband and wife ought to have for each other. It was ordained for the welfare of human society, which can be strong and happy only where the marriage bond is held in honor, into which holy estate these two persons now come to be joined. Therefore, if anyone can show any just cause why they may not lawfully be joined together in marriage, let him now declare it, or else hereafter forever hold his peace. I require and charge you both, as in the sight of Almighty God, that if either of you know any impediment why you may not lawfully be joined together in marriage, you now confess it. Chris, would you say after me? I do solemnly declare.
I do solemnly declare.
That I know not.
That I know not.
Of any lawful impediment.
Of any lawful impediment. Why I, Christopher Fisk.
May not be joined in matrimony.
May not be joined in matrimony.
To Natasha McCurry.
To Natasha McCurry.
Natasha, would you please repeat after me? I do solemnly declare.
I do solemnly declare
that I know not.
That I know not
of any lawful impediment.
Of any lawful impediment.
Why I, Natasha McCurry.
Why I, Natasha McCurry.
May not be joined in matrimony.
May not be joined in matrimony.
To Christopher Fisk.
To Christopher Fisk.
Let us pray. Eternal God, our heavenly Father, giver of every perfect gift, we praise you for all that is good and joyful in this our earthly life. Our Heavenly Father, especially at this time, do we thank you for the institution of Christian marriage, which you have ordained for the continuance of family life, and for the hallowing of the sacred gift of love. And our God, we bless you for the joy which these your servants have found in one another, and for the love and trust in which they enter this holy estate. Strengthen them now by your Holy Spirit, that they may enter this covenant in your faith and fear, and truly keep and perform the vows they are about to make, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Christopher Fisk, will you have this woman to be your wedded wife, to live together according to God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Will you love her, comfort her, honor her, and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all other, keep yourself only unto her so long as you both shall live?
I will.
Natasha Lynn McCurry, will you have this man to be your wedded husband, to live together according to God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Will you love him, comfort him, honor and obey him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all other, keep yourself only unto him so long as you both shall live? Who gives this woman to be married to this man? I think I will. And Chris, you can repeat after me, please. I call upon these persons. Here present to witness. That I, Christopher Fisk. Do take you, Natasha McCurry. To be my lawful wedded wife. To have and to hold. For better for worse. For richer for poorer.
Richer for poorer.
In sickness and health. To love and to cherish. From this day forward. Till death us do part. According to God's holy ordinance. And thereto.
I give you my troth.
Natasha, would you likewise repeat after me? I call upon these persons.
Here present to witness.
That I, Natasha McCurry. To take you, Christopher Fisk. To be my lawful wedded husband. To have and to hold. From this day forward. For better for worse. For richer for poorer. In sickness and in health. To love and to cherish.
Till death us do part.
According to God's holy ordinance.
And thereto.
I give you my troth. Now, you have the rings. Just set them on the Bible, please. Thank you. Now, Chris, if you take Natasha's ring and place it on the fourth finger, number four, one for her left hand. Okay. And repeat after me. I give you this ring. As a token of the covenant. Made between us this day. As a pledge of our mutual love. In the name of the Father.
And of the Son.
And of the Holy Spirit.
And
you could take Chris's ring, Natasha, placing it on the fourth finger of his left hand. And again, repeat after me.
I give you this ring.
As a token of the covenant.
Made between us this day.
And as a pledge of our mutual love. In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Father.
And of the Son.
And of the Son.
and of the Holy Spirit.
And of the Holy Spirit.
Those whom God has joined together, let no man put asunder. For as much as Chris and Natasha have consented together in holy wedlock and have witnessed the same before God and this company, and thereto have given and pledged their troth either to the other, and have declared the same by giving and receiving of a ring, and by joining of hands. It gives me great pleasure to pronounce them husband and wife in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You may kiss the bride. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you peace. Now, if you would like just to relax the hard bits over for yourselves, and for 10 minutes, I just want to share a little thought. I want to read a portion of scripture that records the first marriage that ever occurred upon the face of the earth. And of course, I refer to the marriage that was performed by God himself with our first parents, Adam and Eve. I'm going to read several verses from Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living being. Dropping down to verse 18. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And then dropping down to verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Now that was the first time that Adam saw Eve, his bride. How different from your first encounter when you had that nervous phone call together and then you met at Knutsford. And well, when Adam saw Eve for the first time, he broke into poetry and song. I don't know if you broke into poetry and song when you saw Natasha for the first time. But as soon as Adam saw Eve, he said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This portion of the Word of God, which is so often scoffed at as a mere myth or some kind of ancient fairy story, is not to be regarded with that irreverent lightness. For in Matthew chapter 19, our Lord Jesus Christ himself quotes from this very passage. And he says concerning this passage, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. In other words, friends, our Lord Jesus Christ, speaking of this passage, clearly affirms that it is an accurate, bona fide account of history. There was actually a man named Adam, a man who was put to sleep by Almighty God, a man who had a rib taken from his side. And out of that rib, the Lord God formed a woman, and bringing that woman to a man, it was God himself who joined them in that blessed relationship. And as Matthew Henry observed in his commentary so long ago, she was not made out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled on by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm, to be protected, and near his heart to be loved. This passage of Scripture is foundational to any proper thinking concerning the whole subject of marriage. You know, if I had time this afternoon, I would underscore three very simple but fundamental matters relative to marriage clearly taught in this passage. First of all, this passage teaches us the most elementary matter relative to the origin of marriage as an institution. When we ask the question, where do we get the notion that one man should join himself to one woman in a relationship so deep, so binding, that nothing but death should ever sever that relationship? The answer is, we get that notion not from the church, not from the social manipulators, not from our cultural traditions, but we get that notion directly from the living God himself. Secondly, the passage also teaches something about the essence of marriage. What is it that actually constitutes marriage? And if I had time, I would have subdivided that into 3 points from verse 24. Detachment, attachment, and integration or assimilation. And then the third point would have been the two becoming one. But one thing is clear. Marriage changes everything. When a man and woman become husband and wife, they sever once and for all ties and associations and affections which were part of their single state, even to the extent of parental ties. For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother. Detachment. As much as we love our moms, and when we marry, we need to cut the apron strings that attach us to her, because we have new apron strings to pay attention to now. Keep yourself only onto her, says the marriage service, and do so as long as you both shall live. Therefore, anything that would violate that or impinge upon that is to be guarded against. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and he will be united to his wife. Attachment. And that union is the closest union that exists in humanity. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. They will become one flesh, and in that one flesh union, they are no longer two, but one. Integration or assimilation. And so, you see, Chris and Natasha, there must be a commitment of one whole person to another whole person. He shall cleave to his wife. That is all that makes her a woman, all that makes him a man. There must be that commitment of one whole person to the other whole person. Now, it doesn't say cleave to what he hopes his wife will someday be. The ideal picture that he has, he should cleave to his wife, the real one, with all her faults and with all her virtues. And Natasha's breathing a sigh of relief because I don't have time to relate to all her faults. But likewise, the wife is to cleave to her husband in a realistic relationship. And without this commitment of one whole person to another, there is no true marriage. Think and act with one goal, one purpose, one perspective, one overall dimension for life and how you live your lives under the lordship of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And once that has been established, that covenant in marriage has to be ratified 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours a day for the rest of your lives. And indeed, it is your new identity within the framework of that covenant that constrains, controls, directs all of your activity as it relates to interpersonal relationships. And just in conclusion, this passage is a great illustration of a more profound relationship than marriage. Ephesians 5, Paul quotes this very passage. And when he quotes it, he says, I speak concerning Christ and the church. So he takes the marriage union and he lifts it to a more lofty relationship that it pictures. The union between Christ and his people. In other words, marriage, according to this passage, is a beautiful illustration of what it means to be a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. What it means to be a true Christian. It means detachment. Detachment from sin, from the world, from self-righteousness, from do-it-yourself religion. We must be prepared in the language of the Lord Jesus Christ to leave all and follow him in repentance and faith. Attachment. That is, there must be in our hearts a recognition that there is nothing that we can do to commend ourselves to God. Nothing that we can do to cleanse our sins. Nothing that we can do to make ourselves acceptable to God. We repent, we believe, we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we become part of his body, integration or assimilation. And Natasha and Chris, our prayer, the prayer of the folks here at Auckland Park, is that the two of you live up to God's purposes, God's principles, and God's structures for marriage. The creation of Eve put a song into Adam's heart. And I know, Chris, that you've sang here in the choir. Don't know what your singing's like. Well, it was as good as Adam's. But here, the creation of Eve put a song into Adam's heart. And I hope and I pray that the longer you know Natasha, the more like Adam you will sing about and to your bride. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this brief marriage ceremony this afternoon. We do commend into your hands Chris and Natasha in the days ahead. May you bless them. May you take them up and use them mightily in your hand. To the glory of Jesus Christ we ask it. Amen. Okay. And I think we can now sign the registrar. Yep. Thank you.
Amen.